Good morning. It's always a joy that we can come to the house of God to worship Him, to listen to Him. Shall we pray? Father, I pray that you open our eyes that we may see, open our hearts that we may respond to you and obey you, that we may understand and experience the resurrection of Christ in the very real Jesus. So today, we'll look at this passage in Luke chapter 24, and I name this Experiencing the Resurrection. It is not enough to know that the tomb is empty, or to proclaim that Christ is risen, or to believe in the resurrection. At some point, we must move from the event of the resurrection to experiencing the resurrection. What do I mean by this? We'll look at this as we move along in this passage. Experiencing the resurrection, there are three things that we'll look at in this passage. Firstly, bodily resurrection. Secondly, doubts and scriptures. And thirdly, know and experience. Firstly, bodily resurrection. Two things here: real and direct presence. Secondly, bodily resurrection. In verse 36, is it something that I do? Verse 36, as they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace to you. But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. Now let's look at this. As they were talking about these things. Now we need to look at some of the words here. Who are they? As they were talking. Who are they? They were talking about these things. What are these things? So the they here, if you look at the verses before, it will include the two that were on the way to Emmaus. So Cleopas and the companion. And then Jesus appeared to them. And then they got so excited and they came back to Jerusalem. And then they went up to the place and they saw the 11 disciples. And so they told them, and then the 11 disciples said, Jesus appeared to Simon. Okay? And so the they referring to the two plus the 11 plus maybe some women. And these things referred to the Emmaus experience, and then Jesus appeared to Simon. So they were talking about Jesus. And then you look at this. Jesus himself appeared among them. While they were talking about Jesus, Jesus himself came and stood among them. But you notice their response. They were startled and frightened. Okay. Jesus said, peace to you. But they were startled and they were frightened. Why? Is it something that... woman? And Peter and John ran to the tomb and saw it empty. And then Jesus appeared to Simon. And yet, they said they believe, but they were startled and frightened. They reacted inconsistently to their professed belief. Isn't that true with us? There is a disconnect between our professed faith and our supposed behavior of faith. This is what we said we believe, and yet our behavior do not actually match. And this is our growth process in the journey of faith, from knowing to experiencing. We need to move from knowing to experiencing. Knowing that Jesus has resurrected, but we need to move to experiencing the resurrection of Jesus in a real way. And then we look at the bodily resurrection. In verse 39, Jesus said, see my hand and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. He said, see my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. See my hands and my feet. See, there is something about his hand and his feet that would clearly identify and prove that he is indeed Jesus. Something about his hand and his feet. See, the nail-pierced wounds on Jesus' hands and feet were the undeniable proof of his death and his resurrection. So he was crucified on the cross. So that nail-pierced hand and his feet. And so the resurrected Christ should have still have those marks. Normally, when the wounds are being healed, scars may form over the wounds, filling up the holes and making the wounds less distinguishable. Meaning if I have a cut, as it heals after a while, the wound will become less distinguishable because of the scar that is formed. Now, I believe that the nail-pierced wound on Jesus' hands and feet would remain raw and gruesome as the permanent mark of the death and his resurrection. Jesus had the power to, and Jesus had the power to keep the wound the same. See, the wound would not be diminished or become less obvious, less severe over time. So that when we meet up with Jesus, when he shows us his hand, we will still see that nail-pierced mark, as severe, as raw as it took. This is the testimony of what he has done for us. And so, that nail-pierced hand. And then he said this, "For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." Now, this clearly proves the bodily resurrection of Jesus, as he has flesh and bones that could be touched and not just as. And so, this talks about Jesus' bodily resurrection. It is not just a spiritual resurrection, but a bodily resurrection. And the resurrected Christ could be touched and he could eat like normal human. And yet, he could pass through locked doors and he could be in different places in an instant. Now, this is something different from our physical body that has fallen. So the resurrected Christ could be touched, could eat, and he could pass through locked doors, and he could be in different places in an instant. Now, why do we look at this thing? The next thing is this. This gives us an indication of our future resurrection, not just spiritual, but bodily resurrection, with physical bodies that are imperishable. In the second reading, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 just now, verse 2 says, "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is." We will probably have that resurrected body, bodily resurrected body like Jesus. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52 and 53 says, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body shall put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality." That we will be transformed at that resurrection and will take on the imperishable and the immortal. And if we look at the book of Revelation, at the last part, the new heaven and the new earth, and then we see the new Jerusalem. I think there is a dimension of physical in it. The new Jerusalem appears to be a physical city with walls and gates and streets. And in the middle of the city, there is the river of life. And on both sides of the river, there were trees of life. And it will bear fruit every month. Looks like physical. At least in the New Jerusalem, we will do some eating. The eating of the from the fruit of the tree of life. How it is, we don't know. But it is probably bodily resurrection. That gives us hope. Now we talk about the bodily resurrection. Now we look at doubts and scripture. Two things here. Fears and doubts. Faith and scripture. Fears and doubt. In verse 38, "And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubt arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." Now what is happening here? See, they were talking excitedly about Jesus being risen. And then Jesus suddenly appeared and said, "Peace to you." But they were terrified, thinking that it was a ghost. And then Jesus asked them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts?" Now, if you look at this carefully, here we see Jesus' heart. He was not judging them. He was not reprimanding or rebuking them. Instead, he is helping them to confront the issue. Let's look at some other translation to help us understand. In the New Living Translation, is translated this way. Why are you frightened? He asked. Why are your hearts filled with doubt? Look at my hands. Look at my feet. You can see that it is really me. Why are you frightened? Why are your hearts filled with doubt? Why do you allow your hearts to be filled with doubt? I underline this word fill, and we'll look at it. And then another translation called The Message is translated this way. Don't be upset and don't let all these doubting questions take over. Look at my hands. Look at my feet. It is really me. Touch me. Look me over from head to toe. And then what I underline here, don't let all these doubting questions take over. Don't be filled with doubt. And don't let these doubting questions take over your mind and your thoughts. And then further he said, you see, but they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. They thought they saw a spirit. And this is the problem. Their thought is their viewpoint, the way they look at things. Their viewpoint, their way of thinking, their preconceived idea dictate their reaction. Why were they startled? Because they thought that they saw a ghost. That is the way they look at things. That is the way they thought it is. That's why they reacted this way. Our thought pattern is formed by what we put into our mind, what we think about, and what we operate on consciously and regularly. See, our thought pattern is governed by what we put into our mind, what we think about every day regularly, and what we operate on regularly. So if this is true, then we must guard what we watch, we must guard what we think about, what we prioritize, meaning what we give time to, as they will contribute to our thought pattern and to who we be. We need to guard what we watch each day. Do we watch TV more than the Bible? What do we feed our mind with? What do we think about? Positively, negatively, we think about God, we think about something else. What do we prioritize? What do we give time to? This will contribute to our thought pattern. And our thought pattern determines who we become. So that's why this is crucial for doubt. Where does doubt come from? Depends on what we feed our mind with. And then let's look at what we need to feed our mind. Faith and scriptures. Verse 44, then he said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said, these are my words that I spoke to you. But for some reasons, they don't remember, or they don't understand, they didn't understand, or somehow it didn't register. And Jesus said, everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. So this is evidence of the absolute truth and the total reliability of the scripture. The scriptures will surely come true. And then he opened their minds to understand the scripture. This is the key. We need to ask God to open our mind so that we could understand the scripture. Jesus opened their minds so that they could understand this. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. We can be transformed only through the renewal of our mind. And how do we renew our mind? Reading, understanding, applying and obeying the scriptures daily and meaningfully is the only pathway to renewal of our mind and our transformation. We need to read the Bible. We need to understand the Bible. We need to apply and obey the Bible. Then only will result in the renewal of. So we need to guard what we put into our mind, what we feed our mind. When we feed our mind with scriptures, then doubt and unbelief will have no place in our mind. So thirdly, know and experience. Experience real Jesus and you are witnesses. Experience real Jesus. Verse 39, see my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Trust me, touch me and see. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. He said, see my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. See, Jesus is inviting us to see his hands and his feet, to touch him, to know for certain that he is indeed real and risen. And I think today, he is also offering the same thing. See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me. And you see, we must move from mental knowledge to real experience. We must move from passive learning to active engaging. We must put in effort to pursue, to check and to verify, to touch and feel, to experience firsthand the resurrection, the resurrected Christ. See, don't just stop at mental knowledge. Let's pursue real experience. Don't stop at passive learning. We come to church, you sit there in the pews. It's passive learning. Yeah, we just listen. But I think there's a need for active engaging. How do we engage with that resurrected Christ in a real way? Then we will experience him real. We need to put in effort to pursue, to check, to verify, to touch and feel, and to experience firsthand the life of Christ. See, we must build a habit of daily input of the Scripture. Talking with God, bringing our doubts and our concern to him, engaging him directly so that we could know him and love him more and more. We need to build that habit of a daily input of this. It is not enough just once a week on Sunday we come and listen to the sermon. That's not enough. We need to have a daily input of the Scriptures. We need to talk to God. We need to bring our doubts and our concern to him. We need to engage him directly. You are witnesses. In verse 46, and he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Now notice Jesus said, you are witnesses of these things. He did not say you will be witnesses or you should be witnesses, but he said you are witnesses. What does that mean? See, a witness is one who has seen, heard, or experienced something. So once we believe and experience the reality of Christ, we are witnesses of this resurrected Christ. So we are witnesses if we have seen and experienced him. And then he said that repentance for the forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. See, this should be the reasonable response. Having experienced a risen Christ, we will be excited to tell everyone else. The reason why we are not excited to tell people about Jesus, probably because we are not excited about Jesus in our life. Because probably we have not experienced him real. If we do, we would be telling others excited. Let me summarize what we have said. Experiencing the resurrection. It is not enough just to know that the tomb is empty, not just to be able to proclaim he is risen, but I think we need to experience him real. Bodily resurrection. It's not just spiritual resurrection. That when we see him, we'll see him with the nail-pierced scar, the mark in his hand, undiminished. And this gives us the hope that we will also have that resurrection, bodily resurrection in the last day. Doubts and Scripture. Where does doubt come from? It depends on what we feed our mind with. Scriptures. When we feed our mind with Scriptures, then we would not have that much doubt. No room for know and experience. Not just knowing, but experiencing. Not just mental knowledge, but real experience. Not just passive learning, but active engaged. Let us pray. Father, I pray that all of us would take effort to pursue and touch you. That we would experience in a very real and personal way the resurrection. Some of us, we might still have some doubt or fear in our mind. Father, I pray that enable us to feed our mind with your word, with the Scriptures, that more and more we understand. That you open our minds so we can understand and we can obey, that we could transform by the renewal. So God, we thank you. We pray in